Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Kiwi Third Quarter 2021 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Dmitry Kovalenko, Head of Investor Relations of Kiwi. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Kiwi's operating and unaudited financial results for the third quarter of 2021. With me to review the results are Andrey Protopopov, our CEO, Alexey Mashchenkov, our CFO, and Elena Nikonova, Deputy CFO. The replay of this call will be available until Tuesday, December 7, 2021. Access information for the replay is listed in today's earnings press release. The announcement and presentation are available on our investor relations website at investor.kiwi.com. I also note we have published Excel data book with historical data of our financial and operating metrics on the website. For those listening to the replay, this call was held and recorded on November 23rd, 2021. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that this call may contain forward-looking statements as they are defined under the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements about our expectations for future performance are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties. Kiwi cautions that these statements are not guarantees for future performance. All forward-looking statements made today reflect our current expectations only, and we undertake no obligation to update any statement to reflect these events that occur after this call. Please refer to the company's most recent annual report on Form 20-F filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission for factors that could cause our actual results to differ materially from any forward-looking statements. During today's call, management will provide certain information that will constitute non-IFRS financial measures, such as total net revenue, adjusted EBITDA, adjusted net profit, and adjusted net profit per share. Reconciliation to IFRS measures and certain additional information are also included in today's earnings press release. After our remarks, we look forward to taking your questions. I will now turn the call over to Kiwi's CEO, Andrey Protopopov. Andrey, please.
Good day, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Despite all the regulatory headwinds the group faced this year, I am pleased with the results achieved by the team for the nine months 2021. We managed to outperform our initial budget expectation and adapt to a new payment services landscape. Our initiatives in the existing business streams helped to mitigate substantial portion of losses emerged due to suspension of cross-border operations. Following positive trajectory across all key segments, we decided to upgrade our guidance for 2021 and raised our expectations for payment services net revenue and adjusted net profit. A few words on the key events that took place in the third quarter. The CBR restriction expired, and the central bank reinstated our ability to receive direct credit lines from the central bank, reflecting overall positive attitude towards Kiwi. We sold our stake in Tochka project and received the base amount of 4.9 billion rubles. Moreover, our prudent expectation regarding the strong performance in 2021 are coming true. As a result, you may have noticed in our reporting an additional income provision of 2.7 billion rubles. Although the amount is not final and may be reviewed following Tochka audit results for 2021, we base our expectation on current results and reflect it accordingly. Finally, the uncertainty around YESUP was resolved. Unfortunately, the decision was not in our favor. Given YESUP and relating acquiring services accounting 80% of our total net revenue for the nine months 2021, we admit the next year we are going to face high base effect. It is too premature to provide guidance for 2022. Still, I'd like to comfort investors highlighting a few things. First of all, we are going to compensate for the dominant part of lost betting stream by active growth in the existing businesses. Secondly, we've conducted a comprehensive market research to leverage our expertise and accelerate growth. We are finalizing the result to approve it with the board and hope to share all details with you in the beginning of next year. Now to our third quarter results. Our net revenue growth of underlying business was 2% lower year-on-year. I believe this is a good result considering the effect from CBR restriction and high base of last year. As a reminder, in 2020, sport events were moved to the second half of the year due to lockdown measures. Our core payment services net revenue decreased by 4% year-on-year due to lower e-commerce net revenue yield. On the other hand, we note all-time high payment volume, which increased by 13% year-on-year. At the same time, we continue to demonstrate superior profitability with adjusted EBITDA margin of 60% and adjusted net profit margin reaching 42%. In line with target payout ratio of 50% of group adjusted net profit, the board of directors approved interim dividend payment of 30 cents per share. I will now add some color to the key quarter development and operating results, while Alexey will cover financials right after. Payment services payment net revenue decreased by 8%. The decline in average net revenue yield was partially offset by record high volume. The average net revenue yield declined by 23 basis points, mainly due to decreased share of high marginal cross-border payments accounted within e-commerce market vertical. Our volumes in third quarter was at historical high level, reaching almost half a trillion of rubles. A 13% growth year-on-year was largely a result of the following trends in the money remittance market vertical. Quite higher payout volumes to the self-employed from Kiwi Wallet account holders and payouts on cards. In the third quarter, we connected to our platform 526 taxi companies, growing its number by 50% versus last year. We onboarded 52 new partners working with the self-employed in other industries, including scrap metal pickers, waste paper collectors, our staff, and others. 29 growth in betting swinging payouts driven by overall growth betting market, and continuous growth of B2B2C and peer-to-peer transactions attributed to key market products and other use cases. Corporate and other net revenue increased by 26% year-on-year, driven by developments in our rolling and lottery projects. As we have noted in the press release, our Factoring Plus project was rebranded into the Rovi. Its net revenue in the third quarter increased by 62% year-on-year. In line with previous communication, the growth accelerates in the second half of the year due to the seasonality of portfolio. Digital bank guarantees portfolio increased by 86% year-on-year to 31.2 billion of rubles. Number of deals increased by 18%. Reaching 8.2 thousand, and the average ticket increased 66% to 1.1 million of rubles. Factoring portfolio increased by 83% and reached 7 billion of rubles, with number of active clients going up by 48% to 592. At the same time, there are positive developments in the net revenue yield, which improved year-on-year by 2.4 percentage points. On top of active portfolio growth and expansion of customer base, we have launched our credit product for contract execution and started to provide loans for marketplace sellers via our platform at sellplus.ru. In the third quarter, new product generated 29 million of rubles and demonstrated positive net profit result. Flocktory net revenue increased by 13%. We continue to expand our customer base and attract new traffic providers using Flocktory platforms and marketing services. Now, let me pass the floor to our new CFO. Alexey will walk you through our financial results.
Thank you, Andrey, and hello, everyone. I will add some key notes to the third quarter developments. Our profitability level remains robust, with adjusted EBITDA margin of 60% and adjusted net profit margin of 42%. Due to the cost optimization measures successfully implemented in 2020 and rigorous cost control in 2021, we continue to demonstrate exceptional efficiency of our operations. Our initiatives helped to offset negative implications of lost high-yielding cross-border payments in the wake of central bank restrictions. Our adjusted EBITDA margin was broadly flat year-on-year and stood at 60% in third quarter. Adjusted net profit margin declined by 7.2 percentage points to 42%, driven mainly by the following factors. First of all, high-yielding cross-border payments were suspended, and as a result, BPF net profit margin decreased. Additionally, this quarter we lacked equity pickup from Tochka. And the above negative factors were offset by divestiture of Rocket Bank. We completed the sale of our stake in Tochka project with expected cash proceeds reaching 7.6 billion rubles. In the third quarter, we have received the base amount of 4.9 billion rubles. Additionally, in third quarter, we made an accrual of 2.7 billion rubles of additional income following strong results of Tochka. Although the final amount is yet to be verified in the second quarter of 2022, we are encouraged with the current results. Considering current amount of performance adjustment, the IRR for our investment in this project reaches 54% or over four times return on Kiwi original investment. Including the result from Tochka sale, our net profit for the period increased 2.9 times year on year and stood at 8.8 billion rubles. We upgraded our guidance in respect of 2021. Our guidance reflects recent changes in the betting industry, conservative projections on the recovery of cross-border operations, and sale of Tochka project, which eliminates its contribution to net profit in the second half of the year. We also take into account strong performance for the first 9 months of the year, which came above our initial expectations. As a result, we expect total net revenue to decrease year on year by 10 to 15%, payment services segment net revenue to decrease by 5 to 10%, and adjusted net profit is expected to decrease by 10 to 15% over 2020 results. The board has approved interim dividends in the amount of 30 cents per ADR. We are currently consistent with the targeted payout ratio of 50% of group adjusted net profit. And just as a reminder, adjusted net profit does not include proceeds from sale of Tochka. To conclude my speech, I would like to reiterate that we as a team are focused on profitable growth and return driven in all our decisions. I believe such prerequisite is crucial to ensure sustainable future of Kiwi. And now I will give the floor back to Andrei to some closing remarks.
Thanks, Alexei. Traditionally, I will give you a brief update on changes in the betting market. Unfortunately, our bid to serve as a YETSUP was not successful. Since October, the newly appointed YETSUP took over our CITES operation. Net revenue of whole betting stream comprised 30% of group's total net revenue. Net revenue from our CITES business and related acquiring services for 9 months 2021 amounted for 3.2 billion of rubles, representing 18% of total net revenue of the groups. We believe that we are able to retain net revenue generated from Kiwi wallet services for the betting industry. For 9 months 2021, it comprised 12% of group's total net revenue or 2.1 billion of rubles. We don't observe any negative trends with respect to Kiwi wallet payments method used for betting purposes. We continue to work on options to share our expertise and provide services within the new framework of the new betting landscape. I'd like to conclude with some brief outlook on the next year, reiterating my previous message. A combination of our underlying business streams demonstrates healthy development and double-digit growth, which will be reflected in 2022 expectations. At the same time, we have several options on the table to leverage our expertise and accelerate growth. We will provide more details to the market once we have the new strategy approved by the board. Thanks for listening. We are ready to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Once again, that is star 1 to register a question at this time. Our first question is coming from Chris Kennedy of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking the question. I understand you're not planning to give 2022 guidance, but can you talk about the long-term growth and margin profile of the business as you anniversary the loss of the sports betting business? Thanks a lot, guys.
Hello, Chris. Thank you for your question. I would reiterate that for the next year, what we're going to do is basically compensate our losses via the growth in other segments. So we will believe we will be able to compensate majority of this growth as our key streams will continue to grow. Going forward, starting from 2023, we are targeting the growth. It's not yet, we don't yet have kind of a finalized plan for that, but we would be targeting the double-digit growth starting from 2023.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then just one quick one. Can you talk about kind of trends from October until mid-November and how that's going? Thanks a lot.
Yes. I would say that it's going in line with our kind of expectations. So if we will be talking about the betting operation, as I mentioned, we don't see any negative trends on Kiwi wallet operations with betting companies. So it's going, I would say, generally in line how we would expect it. No losses. Other segments, I would say, generally continue the same trends we observe in the third quarter.
Okay. Thank you for taking
Alexei, if you want to add something here.
Yeah, I just want to add quickly that I think our forecast is reflected in our guidance that we included to the press release.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Vladimir Bevtov of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. My first question will be on the regulatory environment. We know that there were some shocks over the past year, but if we look at the current revenue streams of Kiwi, for example, we know that probably in some areas the regulation is more mature, in some areas it's less mature. So if you would estimate this regulatory environment, what portion of your revenue streams, current revenue streams, is in less mature regulatory environment, and do you see any potential risks that regulation will change and there will be an adverse effect on your revenue streams? Thank you.
Good day, Valery. Thank you for your question. It's kind of tricky to say. I would say that generally, the markets we are operating currently are less risky versus, let's say, betting in terms of the overall regulatory potential headwinds. At the same time, you know, working in Russia, you can always expect changes like in every type of business where you can expect it and not expect it. So it would be quite difficult to forecast. At the same time, I would say that probably quickly growing self-employed businesses, including the different B2B2C and peer-to-peer scenarios, are less developed in terms of regulatory and may be subject for future kind of attention from regulator. That's where we may see some potential changes or enforcements, I would say.
Okay, thank you very much. And my second question will be on the use of proceeds from the sale of Tochka. You used to have a lot of cash on the balance sheet even before the sale. Now you have more cash and your profitability is high. So how are you going to use those proceeds? Are you going to distribute more dividends? Do you have maybe M&A targets in your new strategy? So could you elaborate on that a little bit? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. As we said, we're currently evaluating different options to speed up our growth. and we have different kind of investment opportunities to looking forward. We still have those to be approved by the board, I would say, together with the budget for the next year, as well as more longer-term growth perspective. So I would believe that we will be ready to communicate the plans, the future plans, how we will be, what we will do in this discussion, and together with our strategy at the beginning of next year, and probably like together with our guidance in the after the first quarter. So, Alexey, if you would add here something.
No, I'd just like to add that different capital allocation options are considered at the board level, and we will definitely communicate with the market as soon as we kind of made some decision regarding that. And as of now, again, as we announced, we continue to pay out the dividends with a pay ratio of 50% of our adjusted net profit. And that's what we communicated to the market before, and that's what we continue to execute. And aside from that, as soon as the board made decision, we will communicate it to the market.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Alex Vasenkov of Math Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, my congratulations with solid quarter results, and I have a couple of questions. First, can you please provide guidance for change in working capital and net cash flow used in operating activities for 2021?
So let me take this question. We only provide guidance for our total net revenue, payment services net revenue, and adjusted net profit. Results, we do not provide guidance for working capital. Sorry for saying no to this.
I see. And my second question would be regarding user wallets. So it seems to be the trend continued to decrease number of active user wallets. So can you please provide some insight why this trend continues?
Yes, thank you for your question. There are several key reasons why number of wallets is declining. One of those is CBR restrictions that we faced in the first half of the year, where a lot of kind of merchants of Kiwi Wallet were like forbidden to pay to, so we lost some of the users paying to those wallets. At the same time, even before that, we introduced some limitation on anonymous wallets and enhancement on certain KYC procedures, which decreased technically, I would say, the number of wallets, because anonymous wallets is quite big in numbers. At the same time, they represent less than 10% of the volumes of the Kiwi wallet overall. So I would mention that while the number of wallets is declining, the payment volume per active Kiwi wallet account was higher by 92% versus last year in the third quarter. So while the number of wallets is declining due to those reasons, part of them is more kind of technical, we are able to grow on our key use cases, namely self-employed, paying to the betting clients, where people are spending actually more, and overall, volume is growing on the Kiwi wallet, and the volume per client is growing on the Kiwi wallet.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I just want to know that 80% of population in Russia don't have credit cards. Would you agree that this fraction of population is Kiwi's potential customers?
It may be, but we look at this in a little bit different way. So what we are focusing on our key segments. Namely, it's the clients for digital entertainment merchants, including betting, online games, social networks, and others who wants to pay online. Second, it's a self-employed, both self-employed entrepreneurs that's doing some small businesses and selling goods and services to their clients and needs a convenient peer-to-peer solution. And second, the self-employed that are getting money from businesses where they're getting paid from those businesses via our system. And users of money remittance and digital commerce. So that's our key streams. And we are more focused to provide the tailor-made solution for the specific segments and niches within those streams. So that's what we are targeting, probably not being too much focused on the more broader audience where we still have quite a, I would say, red ocean with big banks and marketplaces.
I see. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Ildar Davlechin of Wood & Company. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have a few, and please stop me if there are too many. First, just to follow up on several questions which were already asked, with regards to your guidance for the full year, the implied net income is quite low. I think it's like half a billion rubles, if I'm not mistaken, using 10% potentially decline in full year adjusted net income. I'm just curious, are there any one-offs or additional investments or year-end expenses that we haven't thought about it, or is it more you being rather conservative in your guidance for net income?
Yes, thank you for your question. Because it's both, because you are taking the lower end probably of the guidance. At the same time, historically we have high expenses in the fourth quarter related to some seasonality and some, I would say, more one-off events. So I would say it's both.
Okay. And may I also clarify, there was a question on the use of proceeds, but would you provide some guidance on the overall net cash position that is at the parent level that does not include funds, customer funds that belongs to rather just to Kiwi? I think before it was like at some point it was about 5 billion rubles. I don't know if it's higher now with the additional transactions.
I'll take this one. At the end of Q3, we had in total 37.5 billion cash and cash equivalents. And it's like next to 50-50 split between our own funds and the funds from our customers, clients, and merchants.
Okay, I see. Thank you. And maybe so two more, if I may. One was I had a question. You at the beginning in your prepared remarks, you mentioned that you have a separate business line around, if I'm not mistaken, credit product for e-commerce customers. I may got it wrong. Please, can you clarify? And maybe if you could speak a little bit more about this product, how it differs from the existing products on the market, because it looks like a relatively new business, at least from my perspective. Thank you.
It's probably products for the marketplace sellers that we are developing through our Rovi project. It's in line with our overall approach, kind of structure financing for SME businesses. So it's, I would say the closest kind of analogy would be factoring business, because what we are seeing through the API, the numbers, how those sellers are operating on the marketplaces, how their volumes are going, how much they are selling, etc. We are getting those money to repay those loans through the escrow accounts where sellers are getting money from the marketplaces. So in a way, it's a kind of financing more of the marketplaces. So the risk is more on the marketplaces like Ozon, Wildberries, and others, while we are proposing this product for the sellers. It's I would say quite a new one. It's not yet big. I think the portfolio is several hundred million of rubles, so it's quite small yet. But we see it's quite, I would say, promising going forward if we make everything right in terms of the distribution.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very interesting. And that, as I understand, this is quite different to what is currently available for merchants on from other providers, right? So, like, there is no alternative sort of product.
There are kind of some, I would say, tries on the market to do similar, but it's certainly different from the traditional bank approach when they're more trying to kind of to score the seller as a company, while what we do differently, we kind of score the relationship between the seller and the marketplaces and the numbers of actual sales and use escrow accounts to get those funds from marketplaces to repay the loan. So the structure is very different from what is on the market currently.
Okay, thank you. And maybe the last one for me. So you mentioned that you're working on this strategy, which also looks like quite interesting to understand a little bit better. And historically, you have focused on high-margin segments, niches, as I understand it, with relatively limited growth, and some of them were negatively affected by regulatory changes. Are you, in your new strategy, are you still considering the sort of cash segments that are not fully serviced by current players, or are you also thinking of some more credit products, or maybe its partnerships with some other players? Like, which direction are you thinking more about, like volume or margin or new segments? Thank you.
Yeah, I would just add that the segments we are focusing on are growing segments, actually. So majority of those segments we are creating currently are either growing or at least the kind of addressable part of those markets, namely online payments, are growing. Looking forward, I would say that what we are looking at is first how we can add what products and services we can add to the to those segments and clients where we are curating in, including probably some loans to the clients we are working, like, I don't know, taxi drivers or self-employed people where we see them. So that's one of the options, or other products for the same segments to be, I would say, more competitive long term. And secondly, what we're looking at is what are other markets where we can, let's say, reuse our expertise and services to get bigger volumes and revenue from those markets.
Thank you. Once again, that's star one if you would like to register a question at this time. Our next question is coming from Maria Tsukhanova of BCS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. So first one, on international transfers that CBR has restricted 1 year ago. Do you think there is, at this point in time, is there any chance that some of these volumes will come back in more in the fashion that would comply with strict approach, or is just lost cause at this point? And second question about number of e-wallets. I understand that decline does not reflect revenue at all, but just to understand like roughly where the decline may end. So, for instance, if you look at third quarter, how many active e-wallets were there that really transacted? Is it like over 10 million or is it less? Just for some rough understanding. Thank you.
Okay, Marina, thank you for your questions. Let me take the first one. So I would say that generally we expect some slow growth on those international payments. We don't expect any, I would say, significant pickup. It's related with, I would say, change of regulations that was imposed recently regarding the onboarding and working with the foreign merchants. There were certain amendments introduced to cross-border regulations and basically some we are making our onboarding in line with those new regulations and believe that it will be quite steady growth for the looking forward. And importantly, it's those expectations are already included in our guidance for this year, and we'll be certainly providing it for the next year as well. Talking about the number of Kiwi wallets, we don't disclose it on the quarterly basis, so we disclosed it on the last 12 months basis. So we will continue to see some decline going forward because we will be getting the full effect of CBR restrictions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Ratim Kramul of Erste Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking the question. Maybe I have a question regarding the relatively frequent changes of the CFOs. I mean, I think it's third person, right, in the last 2 years. Do you have any comments why there's been so many changes on this position and whether the new, let's say, incoming CFO, what's, let's say, the perception of the company and whether you feel comfortable staying as a CFO in the company for longer term?
Okay, I will start and then Alexey will continue. So I believe that while there were different personal reasons for our previous CFOs to leave the company, generally speaking, it is more linked to the changes of the CEO. So as you know, we had a long-term CEO, Sergei Solonin, who was taking the role for 7 years, and Alexander Karavaev was with him for the like almost all of this journey. And then when this started to change, so we have after Sergei, we have Boris, Kim, and then me, this changes of CEO was kind of triggering the changes in CFO positions. So now, as long as I'm here for the long term, I'm committed for the company, so I was looking for a partner to work with me. So far, I'm happy with Alexey and hope we will be working together like for the long time. Alexey, please feel free to add.
Yeah, I just wanted to add I'm very happy to be a part of Kiwi team. I'm excited about the company's future. I believe the company is in quite a unique position. It's one of the pioneers of fintech industry in Russia and still has a few very attractive segments where it successfully operates, and the company has resources and fantastic team that can continue the growth and accelerate it, and I would be happy to be part of this.
Maybe can you share your KPIs as a management? I mean, are you somehow linked to the, let's say, there's some stock option plans, or are you somehow linked to the performance of the share price? Because we all know how the performance of the Kiwi has been in the last 12 months, so versus the Russian market.
Yes, generally our short-term KPIs are linked to the financial performance, different metrics of financial performance, like a group net revenue, group net income, some other segments KPIs. And our LTI, that was recently kind of we launched a new LTI program, is linked to the share price. So we are motivated to the stock growth as well.
And is it just for, let's say, the CEO, CFO, or is it a broader kind of program for, let's say, other people in the team?
Yeah, we have quite a broad LTI program. We have 3 layers. In total, it includes, I think, around 200 people, including not only top management, but as well key engineers and product and sales guys. And all of this program is linked to the stock price.
And the details, I mean, do you get the shares for free, or is it some kind of like a warrants or options? I'm not familiar what are the, let's say, the details.
For the top management is split between the both, I would say. So it includes the so-called it includes both one that is based on the performance of the stock and retention part, which is also nominated in shares. So it's granted as shares, but management is still interested for those shares to grow to get bigger motivation.
To get a granted shares, yeah, if I'm saying correctly.
It's called kind of RSU and PSU. So RSU is restricted stock that is granted, and PSU is performance stock that is granted. So we have both for the top management, like on the 50-50 basis.
My last question, I remember that is still Otkritie the main shareholder of the company?
Otkritie have the biggest economic value, while Sergei Solonin has A-class shares, so he's basically controlling shareholder.
If I remember correctly, I mean, there was some kind of a... It was supposed to be said that Otkritie was supposed to get rid of the stake in Kiwi by a certain, I don't know, timeline, but nothing has been happening. So there is no new information on this side. They're still keeping the shares with intention to sell?
We traditionally answer to this question that it's better to ask Otkritie. So we are not in the position to comment our shareholders' kind of plan. At the same time, I would say that the recently what was we saw publicly on the market was their intention to kind of sell our stock in some mid-term. But that is better question to Otkritie.
So they don't really, but they have good representatives on the board of the company?
Yes, we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Yelena Chitima of Refusium Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions, actually. Maybe I've missed something, but I'd like to ask which segments you are planning to focus on in the coming months and 2022 in order to compensate this decreased betting stream? I mean, segments, services, products, anything.
Thank you, Elena. Thank you for your question. We will be continuing focusing on the same segments we are working now. It includes still the digital entertainment, because Kiwi Wallet in the betting and some other segments of digital entertainment is an important payment method, and we believe we will be able to grow here as well. On top of that, we will be focusing on the self-employed, both self-employed entrepreneurs and payment to the self-employed, then it's money remittance and digital commerce. So those are four key areas in the payment services. On top of that, we will be continue to grow in the ROVI business with those structural financing products, including digital bank guarantees, digital factoring, and those new products that we launched this year. So those are key areas where we believe we will be growing for next year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the second question is, if we take a period from expiration of CBR restrictions to mid-November, to which extent do you think this volume of operations with foreign merchants has recovered?
As I said, it's recovering quite slowly. We already see some operations, those operations. What is important to mention probably on top of that even during the CBR restrictions, we cleared, I would say, some of the big merchants with the central bank. So we started actually some of the operations earlier. And then now we're connecting more kind of smaller type of merchants, which take, I would say, a longer time. So it's not that significant, but it's growing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This brings us to the end of our question and answer session. We would like to thank everyone for their participation today. You may disconnect your lines or log off the webcast and enjoy the rest of your day.